Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Good morning, Mr. Alan Beasley.
His community, Hakim Lipet. Thank you.
Okay. Before we discuss the burning issue, which is VAT, the important question is the budget passed already, or does it have to go through a process before it is passed? If it has to go through a process, could you please elaborate on this process and the power of the different bodies involved in the process?
Yes, sir, sure. So what happened on about 3 weeks ago, the minister tabled it's called the Fiscal Framework and Revenue Proposals. And then that had to come to my committee, which I sat on Tuesday, and the Finance Committee, and we had the authority to either to amend, reject, or accept the proposals. And if the budget was rejected or amended, the budget would have to go to the beginning phase again. And our concern is Action SA, that the government of national unity has taken nearly 2 months to get to this stage. And if this budget was rejected and had to go to the starting point, we would have been putting our country at huge risk. You know, there's a chance that teachers wouldn't get paid, police wouldn't get paid, the economy would come to a grinding halt. And as Action SA, as a constructive opposition, we said we couldn't allow that to happen. We couldn't allow people to gamble with the economy. So we made a decision that we would support the budget on the strict recommendation that there were no VAT increases and there were no other tax increases. So then that was approved in my committee, and that went to National Assembly, and that was voted on in the National Assembly. So as things currently stand, we put a binding recommendation that VAT and tax wouldn't increase, but the budget process can continue on. And it's also important to note this is just the start of the budget process. There are many other steps. So if somehow people renege on what was agreed, we can actually stop the process going forward.
Now, the public have the impression that there is going to be a increase of 0.5%. And is this true? If it's true, when would it come into effect?
Sorry, what was your question again? I battled here.
The public has the impression that the 0.5% in effect. Is this correct? That 0.5 is going to come into effect?
No, that is not correct. Because as I said on Monday, we put forward a proposal that we would only support the budget, that VAT wouldn't go up and tax would increase up. So the Finance Minister and National Treasury has got 30 days to come up with alternative reasons to stop the VAT going up. But it's also important to note that if the budget was rejected on Wednesday, VAT would have gone up. So if it wasn't for Action SA's intervention, there's a strong possibility that VAT will not go up. So essentially, we've got 30 days to put an end to this VAT.
Now, what is the reason for the opposition parties to object to the hike VAT? You know, in layman's language, could you give us the reason?
Yes, sir. I just want to take a step back. So it's important to note that the DA actually proposed that there be a VAT increase. The DA proposed that there be no adjustments for tax bracket creep. So that's their proposals. And when they realized that they weren't getting their way, and there was a big public action backlash, they threw up their hands and said no VAT increase. Action SA has been consistent since day one. We said no VAT increases and no tax increases. And the reason why we say that is there's just too much waste, just corruption and incompetence in the system, and it's unfair to expect South Africans to pay 1 cent more.
And from what's coming, you know, from, we'll say, the grapevine, it seems like the DA is going to drop out the government of national unity. You know, is there any truth to this?
So I'm asking, since if I've been in Parliament for 9 months, and I don't know how they call it a government of national unity. I would call it a government of national disunity. You know, they've been together for 9 months. They can't compare. They can't complete a budget. They're putting the country at risk. And one thing I just want to share is I've just been blown away by the arrogance and the belittling and of the DA and how they drive a fear narrative in our country.
Now, those who support it, like there's one person called Mr. Chris Axelson states, 100 Rand would have been an inflationary increase. However, we allocated an extra 50 Rand for old age grants to compensate for the impact of the increase in VAT, said Axelson. In the revised budget, we have allocated an additional 30 Rand as we recognize these groups are under pressure. Now, it seems like these people are just taking the pensioners into consideration, not realizing that this increase is not just going to impact on the pensioners, but on all citizens of the country.
No, you're 100% correct. And that's why we're adamant. That's why we're fighting as hard as we can. That there's no VAT and no tax increases, because you're 100% right.
But besides the VAT increase, is there any other issue of the budget that is a bone of contention?
No, so for us it's a VAT and a tax bracket because they haven't adjusted for tax bracket. And since day one, since we've been in discussions with the ANC, we said those are the only things. Because the minute you start adding other things like the DA did and other political parties that you're never going to get to an agreement. We need to put South Africans first before our interest and say no tax and no debt.
We thank you very much for your valuable time this morning, Mr. Alan Beasley, and we also apologize for our technical problems, and we hope to talk to you more often in the future.
Well, you're most welcome, and good day to you and to your listeners.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Brother Ahmad Tarek.
Yeah.
Now, we still have some time. And another issue that seems to be a burning issue is this indigent support policy. You know, a lot of us are not even aware that such a policy exists. Could you elaborate on this indigent support policy?
Indigent policy is in council, it's there for a very long time. Now, this policy is put in place purely for assisting the poor and the needy so they can get zero rated in electricity and water and the service they can get. But at the same time, we must understand that, you know, what happens is in this indigent policy, last year we raised 662 million via the billing system. They charged you a surcharge. I don't know if you remember, they charged you a surcharge. Now, that surcharge is built towards this indigenous policy to assist them. But the problem we find ourselves is that there must be amendment to this agreement. Because if you don't have meters, if you don't have the proper control for the indigenous policy, you know, everyone can say, you know, I need this free of charge, they need 3D. This is mainly for poverty, unemployed people, and the very poor people in the population of our city. So that is the main reason this policy is put in place, to assist the very poor people that in the city need our assistance so they can get light and water. But at the same token, people are waiting from 2021 for this indigenous policy the outcome. Nothing has happened. Now, the issue, we have now raised the money. So the monies are there. Now they are now saying, okay, fine, we have got the money. Let's put it in motion. But to put it in motion, you need a proper framework. And there is a lot of gray area in this agreement, which we are saying, you know what, we need to put it in place because there is no meters, there is no proper control. So with an IA, IA system, they need to put in place so that we are able to track them down. Who are these people? How the application is taken place, how we're doing the due diligence in the application, all that has to be put in place, Maulana.
Now, from what comes through, you know, by reading that article, or through reading that article, is that this policy is more for those living in informal settlements, but we know that there are people who don't live in informal settlements that are also, you know, just as poor as those people that are living in the informal settlements.
So, Maulana, there's two aspects. You get people from the informal settlement and from other rural areas where they don't fall under informal settlement. They need the assistance. So we have to give them the assistance where it's required.
And what is the criteria for becoming a successful applicant under the Indigen policy?
There's an application form has to be filled, and they have got a due diligence has to be done proper. Now the issue is, you know, in council, you know, if you scratch my back, I scratch your back. That is the problem we have now. So people who do not qualify, they will qualify for these things. So now that's where reasons. A proper agreement, a system need to be put in place. How is going to be monitored? Because the funding is there now. If the funding is there, because now, you know, in council, you know, you only, the ruling party only got another less than 2 years left for the next municipal election. So they're going to loot whatever is there now. Because I know most of them are not going to be back in council again. Based on that, so they have to have a proper screening process, because otherwise that money is going to go away. That is a big problem you're going to be faced with.
Is it possible for them to keep track of all the shack dwellers, you know, and how are they going to distribute that money?
Maulana, at the moment, they are, you know, fortunately, you know, I sit with the MPAC, and we, you know, in the last 3 months, you won't believe it, we got 100% from in the whole Tigwini. MPAC was the only department got 100%, because anything we find is not right, we send it back to the department. They must come with proper information, like what we doing with the go Durban. So we say 9 million, give us how you use that 9 billion. We want to know that. You don't come and give us nine billion was there. We're not even ready from phase A, B, and C. When is going to open? Who are the culprits there? We asking all those questions. So the same thing in this indigenous policy. We want to know exactly how are you going to screen it, who you want to give it. We want all that, and it has to come before the MPAC. We want to approve it. We want to say, okay, fine. And then they must put a system with the AI system. You know, the AI system today will be able to pick up all the people that are in the informal settlement, and they must register themselves, and then only we'll be able to assist them. Because the issue is, if you're not going to have that system, how help the people need this, need our help? And if you're looking from 2021, there's a huge queue from 2021 to 2025 now, 4 years down the line, who you want to help and who you're not going to help.
Now, it seems like the majority of the parties have a problem with the indigenous support policy, except the ruling party. Is this a ploy of the ruling party to win votes?
That is 100% correct, Valana. But you know, whichever way you look at it, if it comes before council and if anything came from EXCO, from the ruling party, whether we can and the opposition can vote against it, it will still get passed because you've got a block there that works with the ruling party, and it'll get passed. So a lot of things that we don't want it to be passed, it gets passed because they got 94 seats, the ruling party, and they use the block and to pass it, pass the motion. That's the problem we have.
Jazakumullah khair al jaza, Brother Ahmad Parak, for your valuable time this morning. And once again, we apologize for the technical glitches that we experienced at the beginning of the program and the bad reception. But inshallah, next week we hope things would improve. And inshallah, during the course of the day, you will receive your podcast. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Parak, one of our local councillors. And with him we had Mr. Alan Beasley, who was discussing the VAT increase. And inshallah, there will be no increase in the VAT. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.